This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good. All right, Parshas Vayechi. So, we come to the end of Sefer Bereishis, and there are three ideas I'd like to share with you. The first idea is something which I think is precious to all of us, and that is a practice that we do every Friday night. Namely, we bench our children, and we bench them, the boys at least, from a pasuk based in this week's Parsha. The pasuk says, if you look at the first box, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. The pasuk says, "Vayhi achrei hadvarim ho'eleh vayomer leYosef hine avicha choleh." Your father, they say to Yosef, is sick. Vayikach eshnei bonov imay es Menashe ves Ephraim, and he presents Menashe and Ephraim, and he gives the famous brachas Yisimcha Elokim keEphraim veChimnashe. Now, the famous question is, why do we bench our children keMenashe veEphraim? We should, you know, when it comes to the girls, we bench them keSarif keRachel veLeah. So, wouldn't the parallel for the boys be keAvraham Yitzchak veYaakov? Why do we dafka give our children, our boys, a bracha of Menashe veEphraim? So I've come across three answers. I think they're quite well known. But let's go over these answers, and I'll add one interesting aspect. The first answer, maybe you've heard this, is that this is the first time, the first generation, where there is no sibling rivalry whatsoever. If you think about it, from the very first generation, the first children born into this world, Cain and Hevel, there was terrible sibling rivalry. One killed the other. And then when it comes to the Ovis, Avraham has Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak has Avraham and Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov has the Shvatim with the differences with the Shvatim and Yosef. So there's a story every generation. The first generation where you encounter brothers who get on in harmony is Ephraim and Menashe. And they had cause to be, you know, to not have harmony. You know, when Menashe and Ephraim were presented to Yaakov, and Menashe comes forward and he is presented in front of the right hand of Menashe, and Ephraim in the left hand, Sikel es Yadov, he switches his hands. And Yosef tries to, as we know, Yosef tries to switch them back, and he says, "No, Yodati ben Yodati, I know what I'm doing." And despite that, can you imagine how Menashe feels? And despite that, there's no comment whatsoever about any disharmony. So the hope of every parent is that the kids should get on with each other. I know one of my colleagues tells me that he tells his kids on a daily basis almost that they should be each other's best friends. That they should be each other's best friends. Now, it doesn't always work. Yeah, but that's our hope. They should get on with each other. So the bracha dafka of Menashe and Ephraim is a sort of a silent expression of a hope that there should be no jealousy and shalom between the siblings. And another answer is that this is the first generation to grow up in Golus. Till now, the children have grown up in their parents' home in Eretz Canaan largely. And here we have Ephraim and Menashe born in Mitzrayim, born in Golus, and not just some Golus, born into a very decadent society. And yet, what you see from Menashe and Ephraim is that they grew up in this decadent society, but they maintained levels of Kedusha. And the bracha we give our children is that we're in still this long Golus, and here in the 21st century, it's becoming more and more challenging. More and more challenging. And the bracha we give our kids is that although they're growing up in a very challenging society, challenging world, that they should maintain the spiritual levels of previous generations. That's the second idea, despite the fact they're growing up in Golus. There is a third idea, which I think also is a very beautiful idea. Why dafka Menashe and Ephraim? When you ask a parent, what are your hopes for your child? What are your dreams for your child? I think, and again, you could ask around and perhaps you get different answers, but what it boils down to is, what do ultimately parents want from their children? They want them to live a life of Torah mitzvahs, to be happy, to be productive, and ultimately to fulfill the potential which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. That is ultimately what a parent wants. The Gemara says in Brachas that when the Chachamim would take leave of each other, they would give each other a bracha, Elamecha tira b'chayecha. Which means you should see your world in your lifetime. Which is a very strange bracha. Gemara in Brachos Yud Zayin. What does that mean? So Rav Shimon Schwab says a beautiful pshat, that the word Olamecha comes from the word He'elam or Ne'elam, which means hidden. The very word Olam, the world, is connected to the word hidden because it's derived from the concept of Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Molei Kol Haaretz Kavodah, he's everywhere. So where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu now? There's a concept of Tzimtzum, that he sort of pulled himself away, hid himself as it were, and that's the word Olam. This world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu hidden. So Olamecha Tir B'Chayecha means the hidden part of you you should see in your lifetime. What does that mean? Your potential. You should be zocher, that you should fulfill the hidden part of you, i.e. your potential. That is how the sages blessed each other, which is a very beautiful bracha. When it comes to Menashe and Ephraim, we're actually expressing something more than that. That we're saying to our children, not only should you fulfill your potential, but you should exceed your potential. Right? Talk about aspirational Jewish parents. Why? Because Menashe and Ephraim, if you think about it, they're the children of Shvatim. Yosef is a Shevet, is one of the Shvatim, is the son of the Ovos, the son of Yaakov Avinu. But actually, Menashe and Ephraim become Shvatim. So they sort of step up a level. They're the children of the Shevet, but yet they become Shvatim. And therefore, the goal of fulfilling the potential, Menashe and Ephraim, exceeded their potential. So we bench our children, that not only they should fulfill their potential, but they should exceed it. Now, very interestingly, the Rosh, and I've seen this in other Mefarshim as well, the Rosh says, if you look in the second box, Ephraim or Menashe kirivim v'shimen le'yuli. The Pasuk says, Yaakov Inu says, Ephraim and Menashe kiruvein v'shimen yuli. They should be like Reuven and Shimon. Okay, a famous Pasuk, which is normally understood to mean, they should be like the Shvatim. And the Gemara discusses in what respect they're like the Shvatim, and not other children, not subsequent children, just Ephraim and Menashe. Now, the Rosh notes that the gematria of Ephraim and Menashe is equal, almost, to Reuven and Shimon. Why? Because Reuven and Shimon, if you do the gematrias, I worked that at home, so is 725, and the gematrias of Ephraim and Menashe come to 726. So the Rosh says, i.e., why is there one difference? Because ve'echod yoseh hainu shechem echod alachecha. They get an extra bit of land, an extra portion, and it's Shal Shechem, that's the extra discrepancy of the one. But you could say, it fits into what we've just said, that we want you to be like Reuven and Shimon, we want you to fulfill your potential, but we want you to actually exceed your potential, to go one over, not just to be like above, but to exceed that of the generations that came before you. So three reasons why we bench our sons, Dafka, Menashe, Ephraim, and not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, either as a silent prayer for no sibling rivalry, for harmony in the home. Number two, that despite the pressures growing up in Golus, they should maintain the levels of Kedusha of the family. And level three, a goal of not just fulfilling potential, but exceeding the potential. Okay, let's press on. Then you have this famous episode where Yaakov Avinu benches his children. The Pasuk says, Vayikri Yaakov el bono vayomer he'osfu va'agidu lochem eis ha'she'ikra eschem b'achar es hayomim. It's a very poignant scene. If you picture it in your mind's eye, Yaakov Avinu is there, an old man, 147 years old, on his deathbed. And his sons come in to get their final brachas, but before he gives them a bracha, he's going to reveal to them, Acharis Hayomim. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Bikesh Legalus Es HaKetz. He wanted to reveal the Ketz. The Ketz means the end, i.e., how Jewish history is going to unfold, when Moshiach is going to come. V'nistalka Shechina Mimenu, and the Shechina departs from Yaakov Avinu, V'hiskel Omer Devar Machair, and he starts talking about other things. Now, a few years ago, I think we discussed, Rabbi Lef has got a beautiful piece on this, in Parshas V'zois HaBracha, he discusses this Rashi, but not for now, it was on a Parshas Shir a few years ago, but I want to take a different angle. Rashi is quoting a Chazal, of Bikesh Legalos Es HaKetz. Where does this come from? It's a Gemara in Psachim Nun Vavum Dalaf. Look at the next box. Omer Bishim Ben Lakish Vayikri Yaakov El Bonov Vayome Heosu Vagidu Lachem. This pasuk, Bikesh Yaakov Legalis Lebonov Ketz Hayomin. He wanted to reveal the end of time when Moshiach is going to come. The Nistalkim Ben Shechina, the Shechina departed from him. Right, that's where Rashi gets it from. What's difficult is the Rambam. Now the Rambam in Hilchas Krishma tells us the famous Chazal about how Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusei comes into Kriya Shema. It's not in the Torah. So where does it come from? Says the Rambam, this is in Hilchos Krishma, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, HaKoyre Krishma, when someone recites Krishma, Kashil Goymer Posuk Rishon, when he finishes the first Posuk, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kina Hashem Echod, Oymer Belachash, he says silently, Baruch Shem Kavoyed Malchusa Le'ilam Voed, V'choyze V'koyre Kedarka, and then he says in a normal tone, V'haftes Hashem L'kechad Soifa. V'loma Koren, why does he say Baruch Shem, why does he insert it? Maseiros Sibiodenu, there is a tradition, Shebeshah Shekibitz Yaakov Avinu Esbonov, B'mitzrayim, when Yaakov Avinu, in this week's parasha, gathered his children, Beshas Misos, at the time of his death, Tzivom Vezirzom Al Yichut Hashem, he encouraged them and commanded them on Yichut Hashem, the unity of Hashem's name. V'aderech Hashem Shaholach B'Avram Yitzchak Aviv, they should follow in the ways of his father and grandfather Avram and Yitzchak. Now the difficulty is in this Rambam, which all the Nosakalim on the Rambam ask, where does the Rambam get this from? Because the Rambam suddenly says, Sivom Vazirzom, not it was Megaleh the Kates, he wanted to be Megaleh the Kates, but he was Mitzavah them on Yichut Hashem. So look at the Kesef Mishnah below. Omikomokom Yesh Didaktik, Beloshin Rabbeinu, Shekosov Shebeshah Shekibitz Yaakov, Sivom Vazirzom al Yichut Hashem, Vezel Lo Motzinu. The Gemara in Pesachim, which I said above, and Rashi quotes, is that he wanted to reveal the end. Why does the Rambam change the Chazal, almost, and say that he was Mezarez and he encouraged them on Yichud Hashem, on sort of realizing the unity, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why did the Rambam do that? It's a difficult Rambam. So there are various answers to this question. I came across an answer of Rav Shach. Rav Shach's famous sefer on the Rambam, Avi Ezri, in Hilchos Krishma, says the following. Look at the bottom box. They ask the question we just addressed. V'nire poshet. Shekol inyan yediyas hakeit. He says something fascinating. The whole concept of knowing what's going to be at the end of time, ein ze inyan bifnei atzmai. It's not a standalone topic. Mashenogeh lonu that has practical relevance to us. Ela ach v'rag sheyesh poze mishum ziruz v'yichut Hashem. The whole purpose of knowing when Moshiach is going to come is to encourage us to be better Jews, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world and to recognize the oneness and the unity of Hashem. La avidosu v'liroso, to serve Him properly. Ki ein shum nafka minu b'zeh yidiyoseinu mosayiyah. It's of no practical relevance to us, really, when Moshiach is actually going to come. We just believe that Moshiach will come when he'll come. And the whole benefit is just to encourage us, to infuse us to be better Jews. And therefore the Rambam, as it were, paraphrases the Gemara in Pesachim. When the Gemara in Pesachim says, Bikesh Legalis Saketz, what did he really mean is, just be good Jews. Keep Torah, keep mitzvahs. That's what he was saying. And the reason why the Rambam paraphrases and changes the Nusuch is to teach us not to us to sort of spend time calculating the end of time. Because knowing when Moshiach is going to come is not so essential. And he thinks that's pshat. Now, I'll give you a raya that it's pshat. Because, if you turn over the next page, the Rambam says this, it's interesting, I don't think that the Shach doesn't bring this, but the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, a very famous Rambam, literally says this. The Rambam says, look at this, V'chol elu hadvorim. This is what the last Rambam, the last perek in the whole of Rambam, 1,000 prokim, Yad HaChazok is 1,000 prokim, Perek Yud Beis Hilchos Melachim, if I'm not mistaken, is the last perek in the whole of Rambam, and he says, V'chol elu hadvorim, he's spending the last several chapters sort of describing what life is going to be like with Moshiach, etc. He says, at the end of the day, all of these things, we're not going to know what it's going to be like until it actually happens. Shedvarim sesumin etzel hanaviim, because all of these things were concealed even to the Nevi'im. V'gama chachomim ein lohim kabbalah bedvarim elu. Even the chachomim didn't have a tradition about what life is going to be like exactly when Moshiach comes, when he's going to come. V'ein dvarim elu ikabados, and ultimately, this is not the central aspect of Judaism. And the person shouldn't overly involve himself in all the midrashim and chazal about these things. Don't make them a central aspect of your learning. Why? Here comes the key words. Because ultimately it doesn't bring you to Yir Shemayim and Avas Hashem. I.e., the rest of Torah is meant to do just that. And therefore, what the Rambam says over here is exactly what Rav Shach is saying. That really what Yaakov Avinu was doing, and what the Rambam says he was doing, is trying to be miyachdem lezarzom al yichud Hashem, just to recognize a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world, i.e. to keep Torah mitzvahs with more passion, with more enthusiasm, with more understanding, because ultimately that is the benefit of legalis sakates. That's what it comes to. Oh, so there you've got to come on to other things. You've got to come on to, and moreover, why did the Shekhinah leave him? And why did he start benching the children? So there we have to come back to that other idea of what Rabbi Lev says. In a nutshell, what he says is that there are two ways of getting there. There's Be'ita and Achishena. I can reveal the kates to you. Yeah, because ultimately, being Miyachad Hashem is a way of bringing Moshiach coming closer. But there are two ways when Moshiach is going to come. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, either Be'ita or Achishena. Be'ita means at its predestined time, at the last moment. Moshiach will have to come by a certain date. But he could come earlier. Achishena. If we merit it, he'll come earlier. And that, by the way, explains the various contradictions. Sometimes, you know, in Zechariah, sometimes you have the description of Moshiach coming in very glowing terms, and sometimes in very mundane terms. Yeah, Oni Rechev al Achamer, a poor man riding on a donkey, is not the most exciting of pictures. But yet you have other more glowing pictures. You have, for example, some midrashim say that the third Beis HaMikdash will be built by Moshiach. And the others say that it will come down in a fire from heaven. So which one is it? The answer is Be'ita Achishena. If it's the long stop gap, then we don't deserve it. We have to wait till the very end. Then it will come in that way. It won't be so glowing. If we deserve it, we merit it, it will come quicker. How do we deserve it? By each person fulfilling their potential. By each person doing what they're meant to be doing and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of their ability. Then, that's what exactly Yaakov Avinu did. He benched each child and he says, I've got a better idea. I could be Megala the Kates, or I've got a better idea. I'll tell you who you are, because ultimately that is the ultimate bracha of every parent to every child. What your potential is, what your talents are, your capabilities, your characteristics. Because if you look at the brachas, not all of them are brachas. Right? You know, Reuven is pachas kamayim. You're impetuous. Shimon and Levi klei chomos. They're told they have violent tendencies. To the extent, Rashi says, that when it came to Yehuda's turn, he says, no thanks. And others are compared to animals. So, and yet the pasuk says, Vayvarech Yisom, he blessed them. So what's the bracha? The bracha is to reveal to the person who you are. That's the greatest bracha in the whole world. So if you fulfill your potential, that by being Miyachad Hashem, so then you can actually be Zochet Achishena, to Moshiach coming earlier. That's what it means. Okay. Now, let's move on to one final piece. This is a beautiful idea from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. It actually features in Parshas Chayesora, in Sichas Musa, in Parshas Chayesora. But it refers to an episode that happens in this week's parsha. It's worth, I can't remember if we've ever said this before, but it's possibly Chayesora some years ago, I forget. But it's worth a quick reminder. It's a very beautiful piece. Yaakov Avinu dies in this week's parsha. The pasuk says in paragraph 3, in box number 3, Vayal Yosef Likbar Es Oviv, they go up from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, to Eretz Canaan, to bury Yaakov Avinu in Maris HaMachpelo. Vayal Uitzah Kol Avdei Paro Zikne Beis V'chol Zikne Eretz Mitzrayim. So this massive entourage comes up to bury Yaakov Avinu in Maris HaMachpelo. Says the Gemara in Soita Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, last box on the page. Kiven She'egiyu L'Maris HaMachpelo, when they arrive eventually in Maris HaMachpelah, also Esav came along, the nemesis of Yaakov Avinu, who's given him so much trouble throughout his life, he comes along, Kama'akev, and he started protesting that Yaakov Avinu should be buried there. Omer Lohen, Mamre, Kiryas Arba, Hi Chevroi. For Omer Yitzchak, Kiryas Arba, why is it called Arba? Arba Zugas Hayu, there were four couples buried there. Odom V'chadva, Avram V'sara, Yitzchak V'rivka, Yaakov V'leah. Iu Kovra Leah, we're brothers, we share. There are two spots, you've taken your one to bury Leah. But today, v'hai defayesh didiun, the remaining one is my one. So Omru lo, so the Shrotim, the son, said to Esau, no, Zavante, you sold it to him. Omeluhu, prove it. Havli agarta, give me the document to prove that I sold it. Omru le, igarta ba'arad Mitzrayim. We didn't bring all our contracts with us. This igeres, this contract, is back in Mitzrayim. Uman nezil, so who's going to get it? Nezil Naftali. Naftali is going to go to Kolil ki ailoso. He's as swift as a deer. He's the fastest runner. So all of a sudden, Naftali has to run back to Mitzrayim to get the shtar that proved that Yaakov Avinu bought Maris HaMachpelah from Esav. There's a delay at the Leviah. Chushim berei de Don tamon hava. Chushim, the only child of Don, was there, the einikel of Yaakov Avinu. V'yikarin le udne. Udne is an oizen, a hear. V'yikar means he had heaviness of ear, which means he was deaf. He couldn't hear. Omelu maihai. He suddenly saw there was a massive delay. What's going on? He missed the whole interaction, the whole dialogue. So he said, "My high, what's going on?" For Omrule, come Akev high, Ados Naftali, Merad Mitzrayim. They explain what happened, that Naftali's got to go back to Mitzrayim because Esav is causing problems. Omeluhu v'Ados Naftali, Merad Mitzrayim, Yavi Abba Mutl b'Mizoyim. Until Naftali gets back, my grandfather is going to be lying here in disgrace. What a chutzpah. Says the Gemara, Shokel Kulfa Machia Resha. He took a beam or something and he smashed Esav on the head out of anger. And Chazal say that his head fell off and he killed him. Like to be kind of the Nevuah of Rivka, etc., etc. Two questions. Question number one, small point. Why does the Gemara emphasize that Chushim was deaf? What exactly is the relevance? And number two, how come only Chushim was troubled by this delay? He was more sensitive than everyone else. Why didn't anybody else stand up to this injustice that Esav was protesting that Yaakov should be buried? Can you imagine the scene? So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt says a beautiful pshat. He calls it koyach histaglus. Koyach histaglus means the power of adaptability, which is an interesting concept, that we can get used to anything, almost anything. That we, and it's l'tov and l'ra. I remember when I was in yeshiva and I was in the mir in a dira there, not far from the yeshiva, and the mir dira was not the Ritz. It wasn't the most exclusive 5-star accommodation, but it was, you know, did the job. And I remember a guy came to visit who had left the yeshiva about 3 months earlier, and he came back in, and he in 3 months had got used to his home comforts very quickly, and he came back in and he said, I just couldn't do this anymore. I would not be able to live in this dira as you. But it was very, it was fine. You get used to certain levels. It's interesting. Stockholm Syndrome. Is that what it's called? Stockholm Syndrome? So there you go. Now, here we go. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, all the others were slowly lulled into this injustice. They were bringing Yaakov Avinu up from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. They suddenly see Esav. Esav is protesting Yaakov being buried there. He says, what's going on? There were more Kiryas Arba. There are four double burial plots. Me and Yaakov, brothers, we share. He's used up his one. I have my one. That's his time. And they argue, but you sold it. How do you know? Prove it. Naftali, go back. You're lulled into this injustice. Chushim says the Gemara was deaf because he was not lulled into this injustice. Suddenly it hit him. The impact was straight away. He suddenly was told that Esav is protesting and is not allowing his Zayda to be buried. And he suddenly saw what a chutzpah, what an injustice was. He killed it. Because it came to him straight away. And that, he says, explains, he brings it chayesorah, because that explains how could it be that Avram Avinu coped and passed the nisoyin of the Akedah when Sarah, who was greater than Avram in Nevuah, she didn't manage. How did Sarah die? She heard about the Akedah. You know, Parcha Nishmosa, the beginning of Parshas Chayesara. That's the juxtaposition of the Akedah with Chayesara. So how could it be that Avram succeeded but Sarah didn't? So there are different answers. But one of the answers he says is Avram was told in a gentle manner. He was acclimatized to the concept that he's going to have to do an Akedah. Kach nois bincha. So he says, I've got two sons. Es yechidcho, your only sons. I've got two only sons. This is a yochid to this mother. This is a yochid to this mother. Asher ahavta, I love them both. Es yitzchak. And then for 3 days, he slowly walks. He's internalizing. He's thinking about it. He's reflecting. He gets used to it. How does Sarah find out? The malach comes and tells her straight away. She couldn't cope with it. It was so shocking. So you can get used to it. So that's the kerech istaglus. With Avram, it was a very positive thing. With the others, it was a less positive thing. And that's why Chushim, who didn't have this sort of slow intro into this injustice, he was able to stand up for it. And that day, I remember one time hearing that, I remember having a Roshan Shvadron used to tell the following story. Roshan Shvadron, by his own admission, he tells a story about himself, was a very labor-dick little boy. Yeah, he was a sort of a charismatic 8 or 9 year old boy, and he was living in old Yerushalayim. He was, I think, 8 or 9 years old, and there was a, if you excuse me, at some dead end road in Meir Shearim somewhere, there was an open sewer, and all the people were running away from it. The stench was terrible. So little Shomer Shvadron, when everyone else is running away, what's he going to do? He's going to run towards it. He had to see the action. So he gets there, and he gets closer and closer, and the smell is stronger and stronger. And as he gets there, he sort of peers into this big crevice, this big ditch, and he sees two Arab workers sitting on a ledge inside the ditch, eating a sandwich, having their lunch. And he said, from there, you can get used to even the most terrible of things. I remember one time I had a friend of mine did a summer job, and he was working for 5 or 6 weeks as a placement in a law firm. This is going back some years, and it was a recession, and people were struggling to make the mortgage payments and pay the interest on their loans of their houses, and the banks were repossessing left, right, and center. And his horrible job was to go to the court and to give the piece of paper which basically, once the judge stamped it, foreclosed on the house and sort of repossessed the house. So effectively, he was the makaba patish, the sort of the final hammer blow to make sure that the family was evicted from their house. So he was a poor 16, 17-year-old boy. And the fellow said, look, it's just a technicality. You go to the court, they haven't paid, we've given them lots of warning, lots of opportunities. Just go to they're not going to be there. It's just a very straightforward thing to do. His mazel, the first day, the whole family who were being evicted comes to court. And they're crying and they're sitting there. And he is traumatized. So I remember speaking to him very early on in that, and he describing this traumatic experience, which is a horrible experience for the whole story is horrible. 6 weeks later, I asked him again, how are things going? I saw him again, how's the job going? And he said to me, there's such a pain sometimes if the families show up. I'm just trying to do my job. I'm trying to hand in a piece of paper, and what a pain they hold me up. In 6 weeks, you can get used to even these traumatic situations. But that's life. Yeah, I remember one time also that a friend of mine is a very emotional person. I remember him telling me that when he became a father, his wife had just given birth, and this guy's emotional at the best of times, but now he just became a father, this guy was all over the place. And he was walking on cloud nine, and he realized this was 10 minutes after his wife had just given birth, he'd just become a father, he didn't actually thank the doctor who had delivered his child. He was so crying and teary, and he realized he's got to thank the doctor. So he goes along the corridors to try and track down the doctor. And he's told that he's in the doctor's staff room, whatever they call it. He knocks on the door, they open the door, and he sees this doctor drinking a cup of tea, having a sandwich, reading the paper, having his lunch break. And the guy thinks to himself, what is he doing? He's just witnessed creation. How can he be having a sandwich and reading the paper? Well, you know, the answer is because he witnesses creation several times a day and he becomes used to it. That's life. The kunst in life is to be infused the whole time and to retain that sort of sensitivity and to also to adapt to good practices. You can adapt to positive things. That's really what happened in Avram. So just to summarize the three ideas we said today, why Dafka Menashe Ephraim, Simcha Lekim Ephraim V'Chimnashe, the three ideas, no sibling rivalry, growing up in Golas in a withstanding the difficulties of a spiritually decadent society, and the goal of not just fulfilling potential, but exceeding potential. Then you have that Rambam of Bikesh Yaakov, Legalus Esakeit, but the Rambam changes the Nusach of being Mezariz al Yichud Hashem, and Reb Shach's explanation of why he does that. And then lastly, this idea of Chaim Shmulevitz, that the famous Gemara in Saita, that when the story of when they buried Yaakov Avinu, of how Chushim Ben Don stood up to that injustice, because he didn't sort of wasn't lulled into the injustice and the concept of koach hishtaglus. Okay, we'll leave it there.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.